You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 1004. We've got a great guest. We've got Ryan Logan with us from Influence WP, and he does a few other WordPress businesses as well, like WP Umbrella, and he's a bit of an entrepreneur. Should be a fantastic discussion. So, Ryan, would you like to quickly give the tribe a 15, 20-second intro, and then when we go into the main part of the show, we go into a bit more detail?
Sure. So I started my career in 1997, working in the IT industry. I worked my way up from being on the help desk all the way to interim CIO before I left that and started my own IT consulting firm. During that journey, I was constantly asked by clients, can you build a website for us? And after saying no about 10 times, I finally decided, well, there's, I want to help these folks. Plus, I'm leaving some revenue, out of the picture. So I'm going to learn WordPress. Actually, WordPress wasn't my first stop. A solution called PageLines was my first stop. And then I fell into WordPress. And then in 2014, I really took it seriously. And then 2 years later in 2016, I officially formed my WordPress agency.
All right. Well, I think we end it there and we go into a bit more detail when we come back. And I've got Kirk as well. Kirk, would you like to quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Mas. Also work directly with the teams over at Lifter LMS and WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. Like I say, we've got a load of questions for to go through with Ryan. We're going to go for our break, and we'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Also want to point out we've got some special deals from the sponsors of the show, plus another goodies for freelancers, small agency owners, power users. You can find all these free resources and goodies, special offers from the sponsors, by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. Right. Sorry to, I cut you off, Ryan, when you were in full flow, but we had to go for our starter break. So you started on your journey building these WordPress websites, and then you decided to start an agency. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. So in my IT consultancy, I was building more and more WordPress websites. And then the transition started happening where more and more of my work was on the website side of things and less on IT. So eventually it became so lopsided and my interest completely shifted after having an entire life in the IT industry. I wanted just to do WordPress and started the agency and officially closed the IT consultancy and just went full in on WordPress.
All right. And how long ago was that?
2016 is when I officially made the shift.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, I kind of feel like I'm cheating some because Ryan and I have spoken before, but for the listeners and viewers, Ryan, tell us about the inspiration and why you even started Influence WP and then kind of what the lesson is along the way.
Yeah, so I wanted to give back to WordPress in some way because of the lifestyle it has afforded me working from home and such. And I specialize in building directories. That's one of my niche businesses. So I thought I could spin up a directory. I can amplify everyone in WordPress, or at least that was the idea. Whether you were a plugin, a product creator, a podcaster, you had an amazing newsletter, whatever. So that was the idea behind it. And I quickly realized that the people who could really use my help are the product creators. So I just kind of niched down and settled. And that's where we are currently, focusing on product creators. So what I've learned is that there are just some people in the WordPress space that need more help than others. And that's who I'm focusing on.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of extend that, I mean, I think in your experience, you've realized pretty quickly that all product creators aren't created equal.
That is correct. Influence WP has recently undergone some major changes. I call it Influence WP 2.0, where it's really focusing on deeper partnerships. And I, to kind of go further into what you just said, I officially turned away my first partnership and since doing this almost 2 years. I didn't understand what the product was even supposed to do. I didn't understand their product page. And where in the past I would, okay, this person needs help, I'm going to try to help them. Like, there's just some that are so, so far beyond help that, you know, I don't have the time to invest in that. And they're not created equal. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to promote a use case when you can't figure out what the use case is.
And there's fallout from that when you're being honest with people. You never know how they're going to take that information. They didn't take it well, but it has to be done. And hopefully they learn from it and we can try again. You know.
Now, I'm going to run the risk of doing another follow-up on the same question, because if we go to the other side of the teeter-totter, you've got some pretty big hitters on the list too.
Yeah.
Like, so what are... Can you describe like a win or a magic partnership with one of these, you know, one of these Goliaths that you've got on your list?
Yeah, this is a really timely one. I don't know if you've seen, but Plugin Palooza is running right now. That's a huge event for bundling and selling WordPress plugins at a huge discount. That idea came about from Chris Badgett at Lifter LMS. Which is a partner of Influence WP, offering, I think, the most generous discount of every partner on Influence WP. So he's provided that discount. He's given me a lot of time behind the scenes. He's given me resources. He brought the idea of Plugin Palooza to me, and we executed on it. That is the best example I have. It's not the only example, but it's the best by far.
Nice, nice. Thanks, man. Jonathan?
Yeah, come on. Is it WP Palooza? Is that the title?
If you go to influencewp.com/pluginpalooza, it's an event that next Tuesday is when it goes off. We've been teasing it, but it's something that hasn't been done in WordPress as far as we know. It's been done in other other sectors, other industries, and it's been proven to be successful, but I don't think anyone in WordPress has ever done it.
Can you explain what the event is and that?
Yeah, for 72 hours, you get 90% off of 6 plugins that are from highly respected vendors in WordPress, Lifter LMS being one of those and 5 others. But you have 72 hours to get 90%, up to 90% off. You're guaranteed 85, and then we say 5% more if you help us share on social media, but it's 90% off effectively for these heavy hitter WordPress plugins.
And what are they going to be? Which ones are there?
Which vendors? There is Conversion Bridge. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with that, by Derek. There's Lifter LMS. There is EventCoy. Derek has another product in there called Confetti.
I like that one.
Infinite Uploads is another one. And then last but not least is Foo Plugins.
Yes.
But this is the initial trial run, this with this solid core, and then we're going to see where this goes from here. I've already had people emailing me left and right asking how they can be part of it in the next one.
Well, that's good news, isn't it? Yeah. I know I listened to a couple of your recent interviews, and you said that you had to, I don't know how to word this, you had to be kind of more business-like with it because there was a kind of diversion of attitude when you started to work with people. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. Can you give us a little bit more insight about that, or are you?
No. I try not to get ranty about it. The thing is, like, there was people, you know, that you would offer a deal on Influence WP. I would go within their free plugin or on their website, and you would see these dark patterns where they were not only matching the discount they were giving Influence WP, they were trumping it in a lot of ways and negating the partnership. So that's just one example. Another one is just, I've had partners flat out tell me, like, we need to hide you from our communities because we don't want them to know we are giving these special discounts. I could give you a laundry list of things that I was working for free. I was basically working a full-time job for free, and just something needed to change.
Yeah.
Because when you do everything for free, then people don't take you seriously and they abuse it, just to be blunt. And I had to put a stop to it. So we're going to find out who really wants to be partners with Influence WP now.
Ben. Basically, how are you promoting it? Are you through mostly your social media, through X and other social media? Have you got a mailing list? How do you actually promote?
Yeah, mostly social media. And then I do a weekly newsletter. It's one of the unique things about Influence WP. And I tried to do this from the start, is just to be unique, not be like everyone else. So there's no affiliate links. There's no ads. I'm not paid to do any of the videos I do. I'm not paid to include you in the newsletter. It started out, and still is largely, it's just a passion project to help people with, you know, product creators, especially now, but do it in a unique way that hasn't been done before.
Right. So that sounds like a lot of work, but there we go.
I'm fixing that. I've fixed that.
Right, let's go on. Well, the next question is very appropriate, really. What are your thoughts on the future of commercial plugins the next couple of years? And then what came on, Matt Medeiros did a video. Matt's a friend of the show. And I think Matt is a friend of mine. But he did this video, and it was about M-Dash, this product called M-Dash from
Cloudflare.
Yeah. And I thought it was an April Fool's thing initially, but and I thought Matt was just jumping on the bandwagon, but no, it's for real. I don't know if you've been on the radar about M-Dash, because it's only been publicized a day ago.
Yeah, it's all over social media. It's hard to avoid it. Brian Cords published a post that he dropped on social media today. I would recommend people read that. And what it does is it doesn't bash M-Dash, but it says, hey, there's things that WordPress can learn from M-Dash, and let's take a serious look at that. If nothing else, M-Dash may open the eyes of WordPress and, you know, push them towards making changes that maybe should have been made a long time ago. So I'd recommend people read that post. It's refreshing because it's not bashing one side or the other. And it's just looking at it through open eyes and honest eyes.
Well, I totally agree with you there, actually. I think it was quite insightful. What are some of the key things that you think that WordPress could take from this new solution, whatever the way they're wording it? What are some of the key things that you think WordPress can take from this M-Dash?
I haven't looked at it extensively myself. I literally read the social media post, and then I read Brian's post literally right before we hit record here. One thing I noticed is there's no block editor in there. So one thing I've thought forever since WordPress, just put the block editor in and not making it optional, I think that was kind of a mistake. But if you look at Mdash, there's no block editor in there. It's basically, it looks like the classic editor of WordPress, which allows you to do things that you can't do in WordPress also. So I think one of the things you learn right away is, you know, maybe don't cram certain things down people's throats, you know, and make it optional. Gutenberg is a plugin, you know, why not keep that as a plugin and let people opt into that, for example. Because a lot of WordPress development and stuff going forward looks at Gutenberg and it holds, you know, certain releases back, which we're seeing. But if it was on a plugin on the side and people could opt into it, you know, things could be different potentially. That's one thing.
Yeah, but I think the security features and the way they deal with plugins, I think that's very interesting as well. What's your thoughts on that?
It's interesting. Yeah, I think there's something to be learned there. I think if I read correctly though, there's drawbacks to doing that. But I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and read. I haven't like literally read that post before you hit record. I'm just trying to recall what Brian said since I haven't seen it myself. But if I do recall, there was something that WordPress could take from that approach.
But what's your own views about the future about WordPress in the next 18 months? Do you, you know, what would be if you had the power to change one or two things, what would you do that you think would make WordPress a lot better?
One of my things for the longest time is, because I'm a visual guy, I'm a design guy, is I want to see a complete overhaul of the WordPress dashboard. I want to see the media library completely overhauled, folders, tagging, organization, infinite scroll is a problem, like, you know, things like that. Just because of the nature of the work that I do, that would be one of the biggest things. The command palette, you know, is a unsung hero. I use it all the time and there are plugins that enhance it. And I love those. I think the command palette could be greatly enhanced to reduce context switching in WordPress. There's a lot of, especially if you do full site editing, there's a lot of jumping between screens and they're disconnected. You often find yourself like out of your workflow. Literally, it'll just kick you back into the WordPress dashboard and you got to figure out where you were before.
Oh, what's happened? Oh, sorry.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. I lost something.
Oh, right. I was a bit concerned there.
It's like his cat knocked over his laptop.
Yeah, I think it's just my video cord.
All right.
I apologize for that.
No, that's no problem. So anything else that you think needs changing?
No, that's all I can think of. I'm sure I would come up with something that I thought. Are you guys able to see me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay.
We can hear.
Okay. I just lost my video.
Oh, yeah. All right. I think that's a good place for us to stop for our mid-break. And when we come back, we've got some more questions. It should be a great discussion. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I want to point out, if you're looking for a hosting provider that specializes in membership, LMSs and community websites, why don't you look at partnering with WP Tonic? We really offer custom hosted solutions for those particular type of websites. Plus, we can also be a lot more. We can be your technical partner as well. If that's interesting, why don't you go over to wptonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. I missed out question four, so I'm going to throw it over to Kirk. And if you've got a question that you want, just feel free to ask it, Kirk.
Well, it's kind of an expansion of question three, actually, because when we talk about commercial plugins and what like the next 18, 24 months looks like, I'm driven back to a panel show that we had had on WP Tonic last month. We had a couple of panelists, plugin creators, and then we have another panelist who works a lot in AI and basically said, you know, I can create anything I want in AI. I don't need plugin creators anymore. And you know, it sounds light and wonderful, right? To hear that on the surface. Sounds light and wonderful, right? Anything I imagine I can make. I can just do this thing. But I'm still of the mindset as an agency owner, I don't want to be responsible for creating and maintaining nothing. I just want to implement tools that other skilled people made and maintain for me and provide the updates so I can focus on helping customers the way I help customers best. But that's my perspective. And so I'm just kind of wondering, you as an expert now, especially you partnering with all these plugin creators, right? So you know, you have all these product creators. What does it look like? What do you think, year and a half, 2 years, AI, and I can build whatever I want versus people curating actual functioning tools?
As I've said on social media and to some of my partners behind the scenes, it is, you can no longer have a simple single-use plugin anymore that you're trying to monetize. Let's forget about it. I can elaborate more on that as far as my own journey with AI and developing, but those plugins, those days are over, and I can prove it. So behind the scenes and on social media, I've told plugin creators, you need to go deeper. You know, if you've got six plugins, and you know, one of them is maybe one or two is maybe deeper than the others, maybe drop those others off, sell them, retire them, whatever, and really dive deep into those two plugins, those two core plugins, and distance yourself further and further from the AI. So the AI is much harder to reach. It's like when I create plugins, and we can talk about that if you want, when I create plugins now with AI, like if I have to go and do anything semi-complex, I'm out. So that's where they can really set themselves apart. They go deeper into their solution. That's what I think has to happen right now. I have one partner at Influence WP where I've helped literally reshape his approach, where he had plugin sprawl everywhere. And I said, what if you bring it all under one roof and it's one name, one brand, all of these features are under there, and at a simple toggle, they can, at a modular level, activate what they want to activate. Just keep iterating on that plugin over and over again. That's your flagship. So that's what we're doing currently.
Yeah, interesting, Jonathan.
Yeah, I think that's really insightful, because what you're saying is the simple plugin that's just doing like one thing, you really see the writing on the wall. But on the other hand, being that you've been producing some of those plugins, there's a certain line of complexity where you're not so keen to use AI to build a plugin solution. Is that basically it?
Yeah, because, and I'm working on a guide right now. It's like the beginner's journey of doing AI coding in WordPress. And for anyone that wants to get into it, and what you find is if you want to do things the right way, you know, there's accessibility, there's security. I approach it in a way that this thing is going to be submitted to the WordPress repository. That's how I build things. Like I know it's going to be scrutinized. I build it that way and try to follow best practices with everything. even if I only, if I'm the only one that ever uses this plugin, that's how I approach things. So when I'm developing these, it's very quickly, you can find yourself in a place where it's like the point of no return, and you need a true developer that's reviewing this code. That's going to cost money. That's their time, right? You need to market this thing. You need to distribute this thing. Yeah, I mean, it's so much more than just chatting with an AI. There's so much more to it.
Well, this is the divide, because I totally agree with you, but I met Kirk on Tuesday, and I was talking to somebody that we both well known, and they've gone totally AI, and they produce some really interesting stuff, but they're not really doing what you're doing. They're just really diving in big ways. And I know some other people, not personally, but they're I follow them on YouTube, and I'm really big into SEO, and I follow a few people, and one or two of them, they've really closed down their traditional SEO agency, and they're building on AI platforms like Lovable and some of the more app-focused platforms, and they've just gone fully, they're just developing stuff themselves, and they really haven't got that much serious development experience. And it's just fascinating to see these divides. But I want to publicly state that I agree with your approach more than the other instinctively, but the business side of me kind of goes on the other side. So I feel very drawn to both camps. Is that making sense, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. When I fired up my AI environment for the first time, development environment for the first time, I was so excited when I saw that cursor blinking and I was ready to start typing into it. You know how you hear people talk about one-shotting a solution? I firsthand can say that that is absolutely possible. I one-shotted a WordPress plugin in one prompt. To be fair, that was a bit of research on the prompt, but it literally created a plugin that I could have used and shipped. The problem is that if you want to ship that anywhere responsibly, that's where the problem happens. It was fully functional. It did everything. I have no idea what the code was underneath. I have no idea. It could be insecure. It could have back doors. I have no idea. And I think that's the scary part. But you can one-shot solutions if you have the right prompt.
And so what's your present AI stack then, Ryan?
I just use Cursor and I use WordPress Studio. That's it. That's literally it. I just went on YouTube and I searched for WordPress plugin development specifically, found it like, you know, five or six videos, watched them all beginning to end, and I just pieced them all together. So I knew that Cursor was a viable option. I knew that if you wanted to do things the right way, you needed to add the WordPress development rules in there. You need to do other things for privacy. Here's some specific settings. I knew all of this going in before I hit that prompt and start, you know, and entered that prompt. I wanted to do things the right way. But that's it. It's a pretty simple setup. I don't know if it's the long-term setup. I don't know if it's the right setup, but no. It's working. It's working. Like, yeah. It's absolutely working.
Well, it's a very changing environment, to say the least. So how do you envision this affecting WordPress? Because, you know, there's been some other YouTube influencers. There was one, a Dutch guy that's big in, I forgot his name, probably Kirk remembers his name, that does a lot of training in Elementor. And he had, I think...
Reno?
Yeah, pardon me. Yes.
Reno, yeah.
And I think he had a lady that's part of his community, and she had just given up on WordPress and she was just using Lovable. It was a little bit frustrating because she wouldn't show the backside of some of her customer solutions. She said she did that for confidential reasons, but she had shown him. So that was a little bit frustrating. But I know there are some people, that some agencies that I know, small agencies that have gone, really, they've gone the whole lovable route. And also you've got Go High Level, haven't you, that have just introduced their own AI website builder, haven't they? So how do you think, the only problem is that I've noticed with a lot of these AI websites, they all look a bit the same to me. How do you think, especially the Go High Level introducing this prompt website builder, what's your thoughts about that?
I honestly have no experience with any of that stuff except for one, and that is a WordPress solution. I'm all in on WordPress, and that is a solution called Miles. It's magic. But again, it comes down to prompting. You have to know what to ask for, and that's going to allow you to have those sites that don't look like every other site. But it's just the prompting. Know what to ask for. And that comes from years of building websites. You know, I'm 12 years into this, and designing is one of my favorite parts. And I think you can pull from that, and you know what to ask it when you do those prompts. But a lot of times I think from the videos I've seen with like Lovable and whatnot, it's just everything looks like a SaaS application website. You know,
yeah.
It's the same border radius on all the buttons, dark background, you know, same animations. It all looks the same.
But, yeah. Well, over to you, Kurt.
Well, I hate to be beating this dead horse, but I just can't get my head around one thing. And that is, you know, you said you were using AI to create plugins and you told us your stack, and I appreciate that. But mm-hmm. We were talking to Matt Mullenweg last month about AI and usage and stuff. And I had said, well, one of the things I had mentioned was I think the plugin directory, the repository is a little odd, right? 75,000 something plugins. And then he laughed, you know, and he said, oh, we're going to be over 100,000 soon, you know, because this AI is creating this increased flow, this injection of stuff. And in my mind, I think to myself, before I jump in and start trying to vibe code some kind of a solution, my gut says, is there a pre-existing solution for this before I start trying to reinvent the wheel? And I have some people telling me it's a waste of time to try and make a plugin fit every use case, which I guess I understand that story. And they try to tell me it's easier to just vibe code something and make it happen. Where do you sit on that fence? Because you're familiar with both sides. So let me know what you're thinking.
Well, very timely. Literally this morning, I'll tell you a story. So the plugin that I decided to create, the second one, came out of a need. Very simple idea. It didn't exist as far as I knew. I went to the WordPress repository first because I, like you said, I don't want to just replicate something that's already been done. I'd rather go use something that someone spent their time building, try it. If it's great, give them a great review and move on with my life.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. I searched high and low, and this is one of my biggest complaints about the WordPress. It's not WordPress itself, but, you know, like the repository, let's call it. And I just posted about this yesterday on X, is that the repository is a dumpster fire as far as finding solutions. I applaud them for having the featured section. That's great. But if you, like, for example, so what I'm building is a block-based solution. So I went to the blocks area of the repository, which filtered block-based solutions. I then typed in the word form. And what happens when you do that, it takes you right back to the main, not the blocks plugins, the main plugins repository. And you have to start all over again. There's no filters. There's nothing. Like I build directories. We have filters for everything. You have to have filters. Had there been filters, I would have never created the plugin I created, because literally this morning I found a plugin similar to what I was building. They're completely different. I mean, they're different, but yeah. They share some similar qualities. I probably would have just went and used it and then gave that guy some feature requests. But we actually coincidentally were talking offline. I had no idea he was the creator of it. And he shared a link and I was like, are you kidding me? Like I literally just built a version of that. And we were talking about like that it has to be fixed because all of this influx of AI, we're assuming AI built plugins in the repository. How many of those wouldn't even be there if people knew what existed already? That's the question.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I think that sometimes about, because you mentioned forms, right? And so everyone goes, what form tool do you know? I use WS form. I use Gravity form. I use Fluent form. I'm like, how come there's so many stinking form options? You know, it's a website gathering information. Do we need 73 form tools? And everyone's going to say, well, this one will process, you know, Square purchases. And this one will do something with Stripe. And this one will do. And I guess I get it. But it just seems like there's just too much to stare at. It's hard to decide. And I think maybe that's why some people think, well, I'll just vibe code my own then because I can't see through the mess. I can't get through the fog to find what I want.
I am living proof of that exact thing. I literally just did it. I needed a coming soon plugin that was super basic, that worked completely with the block editor, and then it had a form component to it. That doesn't exist, or at least I didn't think so. So I created it. Now, the different, kind of along the lines of what you're saying, my plugin, when I look at this other guy's compared to mine, they're different. Like mine goes above and beyond what his does. And I'm not a developer. He's a developer. Like that's all he does. But I saw other opportunities. For example, I use Fluent CRM for the newsletter, the CRM. So I needed a Fluent CRM component into my subscribe form. So I built that in all with AI. I could have never in a million years done that on my own. I would have had to hire somebody for that specific use case. But I guarantee you, if you go in the repository, you're not going to find that exact specification in a plugin. It's just because it's a special use case. Yeah. So that's where AI is magical. And that's why we are seeing such a huge influx in the repository. Because it's easy. You know?
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Jonathan?
Yeah. So basically, you know, you've got the Influence WP, but you also got WP Umbrella, haven't you? Is that correct?
I'm a contributor. That's not my company. Yeah, I'm just a contributor. So I get in there and talk about the product and like, this could be improved or I'd like to see this, you know, just a contributor.
So you were saying that you kind of specialize in directories. Where do you, you know, I think it'd be interesting for our audience, where do you get the majority of your customers? Is it from other agencies? Are you a specialized subcontractor or is it people just find you through your content, your outreach on the internet or through social media? What are some of the lead generative ways that people find you actually, Ryan, to do directories?
Yeah, I have a business just dedicated to this. And I started that almost 7 years ago now, 6-7 years ago. I started with a Facebook group and I quickly realized that wasn't for me. So I got out of that and then started leaning heavily into, so I think I got up to like 1500 members in that specific niche. So I got out of Facebook groups and then started a YouTube channel. And that's when things really took off because I love to educate people and share my experiences and what I'm doing. And I would jump on YouTube almost every day and just record what I was doing. I still do that. It's a pretty popular channel. But so that's probably my main thing. I also started.
Do you want to publicize it? Tell us.
Yeah, it's called My Listing Club.
My Listing Club.
Yeah, and it's built. It focuses on a specific theme called My Listing, and it's one of those all in one themes, if you will, directory themes. Oh. But I fell into that like by accident 6-7 years ago, and I just. The way that my education and support background, like I became the go-to for it and I leaned into it. But yeah, so then I started the Circle community. And with that, I felt like I was just talking to myself most of the time.
Well, that's fascinating. You tried, because when was that? When did you?
I quit that last year, but I 2 years ago I started, I would say.
Right. Because that's when, because really you only had BuddyBoss, really WordPress, and you now got Fluent Community, which we love at WP Tonic. We still like BuddyBoss, but it's got to be the right tool for the right solution, isn't it? But you gave up on that. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I don't know if it was just the people I was serving in that community, but I felt like I was just speaking into the ether and there was like no response. There was not even a thumbs up. It was just like I was talking to myself, and I'm paying, I don't know what it was, $100 a month for this tool that nobody really, you know, maybe they cared about. They never let me know. So then I was like, I shut that down and went 100% on YouTube, and then kept the newsletter going. And that was my communication. It's currently like my communication for them right now. But yeah, if I was to start up again, it would be Fluent Community for sure. 100%.
So do you do local work as well? Or is it almost all your time is, apart from the time you're spending on Influence WP, is it mostly these directory websites?
Yeah, that's my bread and butter. And then I have my actual agency. It's called WP Turned Up. That's what I started with. My specialty there is literally taking somebody from an idea for an online business and taking them from beginning to end. I've even helped people sell their business. Like I've got a product where it's a project management. We drop it in, and I literally the entire life cycle of their business. I take them through it. I build their site, maintain it, support it, get them in a position to sell it, you know, following best practices and things like that. So between WP Turned Up, My Listing Club, Influence WP, there's also Changelog WP, which is another passion project for WordPress, which it was, that kind of was a need for myself as well, because, you know, doing website care and maintenance over the years, changelogs, I was constantly chasing changelogs. And I was like, well, what if we had a platform where you could go and you could subscribe and get notified when changes come out, you know, like a centralized location. And then, so we built that. And then on top of that, we released a plugin not that long ago, because there was a gap in the changelog plugin market. So now you can put our plugin for free on your site, and people can subscribe to your changelog through our platform. So it's a very unique plugin situation.
All right. And how long have you been doing that?
I would say that's about 6 months. Random guess. Yeah. And then have one more project coming, and then I got to call it after that. You only do so much. But you didn't ask this question, but I'm just going to tell you, my agency is in a flux. Like I am with these page builder situations and AI. I don't know. You can have me back on maybe. I don't know what to do next. I'm just being transparent. I don't know what to do next. I have access. I bought Etch. I have a lifetime license for Bricks. Now I'm introduced to Miles. I love OlliWP. I'm pretty much all in on that.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of doing these other things and waiting. I don't know what to do next. I don't know. I got to go all in on something, because I don't like to spread myself thin on these tools too much. But I don't know what to do, because there's just so many options.
Well, I think you're like a lot of people. I think you've summed up the situation really well, actually, right? It is. To say it's fragmented and confusing, even for those that got the amount of experience that you've got, can you imagine what the average person feels like?
I can't. And to be truthful, Elementor is what I, you know, got in on 6-7 years ago, because the directory theme I use requires it. So that's natural progression into Elementor. I became an expert, literally like was designated an Elementor expert on their platform at one point before I just voluntarily let that go. And then, so that's all I've known for the longest time. And then, you know, like I said, I bought that Bricks lifetime license, never touched it. Nothing against it. I just didn't have time. Then there was the block editor, Gutenberg, came around, and I touched it, and I'm like, I can't use this. I have no idea what's going on. So then Etch comes out, and you know, it does what it does, where it promises you don't have to touch the block editor, but I haven't had time to invest in that. Meanwhile, Ollie is there, which from using Ollie, it was like an on-ramp. I love, it's going to be weird maybe to say, I love the block editor now. Like I love working in it. Like, but when you're from a beginner standpoint coming into WordPress, hell no. Like I just don't see it. Like, but I love it. Once you actually give it the actual time, and it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, well, we kind of still are with Cadence WP because Ben was such a great developer. It was sad to hear that he left, but he's found new pastures. Mm-hmm. He's got a full-time job now somewhere else. But I think Ollie is interesting as well. It's full site editing, but I think, it seems an interesting solution, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then with the AI that's coming, I envision, I don't know if it's going to directly compete with Miles, but I can envision a situation where you use the Ollie patterns and their menu builder and their this and their that, and then you just fill the gaps with AI. Like you get to a section and you need a landing page, for example, and you just type in the AI, I need a landing page that is built on Ollie's standards, and you're going to have it in seconds. So
That's what you really need, isn't it? You need something that gives you structure and some visual ability, but it also will be linked to AI as well, won't it, Ryan?
Yeah. If you trust Mike and Patrick and what they're building over there, and I do, and I trust that they're going to do things in a responsible way, I don't know. I just see it being a slam dunk. I mean, you can already with Ollie, I've done it already, is you can build a site beginning to end very easily. Now, if you fill that gap with AI, I don't want to say it's game over because I hate saying that, but it's partially game over. I mean, good luck competing with that. If, you know, there's others that are, I mean, Etch is kind of doing something similar where you've got the AI in there to fill the gaps. There's others doing it for sure.
Yeah,
that was interesting. I saw a couple, Kirk's big into Etch, and they've just introduced this AI, haven't they? Elements to it, haven't they, Kurt?
Yeah, you can literally take a screenshot of something, put it into the AI and say, duplicate this in Etch to Etch standards, and it builds it in the structure bar and puts it on the page. And then, of course, you style it out from there. Kevin's real big on this 5S methodology, and his big thing is structure, like get the content on the page first and then move it around and style it and do the stuff you want with it. And so I'm getting better with Etch. What surprised me, Ryan, and I think we've talked about this before too, was the learning curve was, because I came from an Elementor background. You know, I came from classic editor, site origin and stuff like that. Then Elementor. And then I kind of used Elementor as a crutch for a while. And then it started giving me problems on updates and security and stuff. And so I said, okay, I got to try something different. So like you, I went to Brix. Took me a while to learn Brix. It was a little bit of a learning curve, but I got it. And then I kind of assumed it'd be the similar thing to go to Etch, but it's not, man. It's a 10X learning jump for me. And there's things that they're doing with HTML and CSS and JavaScript and all these things in there is new to me, because I was always a kind of a point and shoot kind of builder, not a coder. And so it's been interesting, but I've had really good performance gains in the projects that I've converted from one page builder to Etch. So yeah. I've done it with Elementor and I've done it with Brix, and in both situations I had large jumps in page performance when I was done. So I think Etch is the way to go. I just think the learning curve to it is immense, which comes down to, as you mentioned, the difference between passion projects and business. Like, am I doing this to have fun and be artistic and play with stuff? Or am I trying to create stuff and make a dollar? And I can make a dollar with Astra Pro.
You say Astra?
And Jonathan and I use Cadence Pro on a lot of projects. So between Astra and Cadence, I'm in that bathtub quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Infold sites still running. I don't know if you're familiar with Infold. a Theme Forest kitchen sink.
Oh, theme. There you go.
But yeah, when I said game over, I didn't mean like Ollie's game over for everybody else. I meant in that space, because I feel like Etch is in a different space, because it puts that layer on top of the blocks, the block editor. I think that they're in a completely different arena. And then Miles is like, these are the three tools that I'm kind of looking at now. And then Miles is like block editor, but I could see where Etch could come into play with it. So those are kind of the three things that I'm juggling right now. But Etch, like, I just don't have the time. I go in there and I tinker, and it's just like, it's an amazing tool. I know it is, but I can't do it right now. I gotta wait until I can click some things and drop it on a page and then work with it, you know?
Yeah. I literally just made a tutorial for Lifter LMS, you know, using Lifter with Etch. Right. And they'll be putting that out this week.
Oh, wow.
But it's interesting, because if you're in Etch and you're following along Kevin with Page Builder 101, you could make an assumption of like, oh, these cool tools aren't going to work with this platform. Right. You just assume it's not going to work. But it turns out that it works great. You know, you just got to think ahead of a couple of things.
Yeah, 100%. But we have options, lots of options.
Yeah. Jonathan, you want to hit the last question?
Yeah. So last question. If you could go back to the beginning of your career, Ryan, and you could give yourself a little 5-10 minute little pep talk, what do you think you would have said to yourself?
The IT career, I don't think I would have changed anything. So let's start with WordPress. I would say, starting out in WordPress, knowing what I know now, I would have not stayed a one-man team. I would have tried to form a relationship with a developer-minded person early on, and worked on that, forming that strong bond and just growing together in WordPress way back when. Because I've always said for the longest time, I'm a developer away from building cool stuff, and I've just been held back because, you know, finding that right developer to partner with. And a lot of times when you partner with developers, they don't necessarily have the same passion for what you're trying to build, which can create a divide. But if I would have had somebody from the beginning that I could have had on my team, could have been a team and shared the same passion for the same project, I think we could have built some really cool stuff. I think that's what I would have changed, is not trying to do everything on my own from the beginning.
Well, I purposely have tried to build a small agency. It's been, he said, it's ups and downs, to say the least. But that's what I wanted. And it's actually cost me a lot of money, that decision. I still feel it's the best long-term, hopefully. But it's nice to work with other people. I work with Kirk. We've got a couple of other people in the WP Tonic family. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. So before we wrap it up, what's the best of all these things you're up to, Ryan?
Yeah.
What are the ones do you want to plug at the end of the show?
Yeah, I'm not good at plugging myself. So I'm just going to, you know, I like to help people. So I'm just going to say influencewp.com or changelogwp.com. And hopefully I can help you with one or both of those areas.
It's been a fascinating discussion, Ryan. Actually, I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I don't know where you get all the time. But it's fascinating. You have to come back on the show a little while where we'll continue the discussion.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
If you want to support the show, folks, the best way is, if you're listening on your mobile on iTunes or Spotify, is leave us a review. Leave us a good, a bad, or indifferent review. I don't care, nor does Kirk. But it does really help the show. It means that we show up to new people. We've been growing lately. Like I say, I never thought I would get over 1,000 shows, but we did that a little while ago. So if you could do that, both me and Kirk would be really appreciative. We'll be back with another great interview next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.